and good morning. Happy Resurrection Day, and welcome to Engage Church. My name, if you don't know, is Mike. I am the pastor here, and I want you to know it was so good, and it still is so good. I don't want to make it sound like it's past tense because it's still happening. It is excellent to be in the house of the Lord with each and every one of you. Just look. Guys, this is awesome. All of our regulars are here. We've got a few visitors, but guys, this is amazing. Here's what I need you to know today. It was necessary for you to be here today. Why? Because your presence and your testimony was needed by somebody. Just your presence was necessary for somebody who's here today. Your smiling face, your handshake, your listening ear while we were eating breakfast, which great job on breakfast, everybody. It was needed. It was necessary. So if you ever think, gosh, I don't want to go to church today, let me just stop you right there. Somebody else needs you to be in church. And so it was necessary that you were here today. Today we celebrate, we worship, and we are confident that our hope is that Jesus rose from the dead. And we can be confident in that today. As Jesus rose from the dead today, here's what he did. He conquered sin, he defeated death, and he overcame the grave. Today, church, I'm here to tell you, he is alive and well and seated on his throne. And that is the Lord that we worship this morning. With great joy, we're finishing up our series on the book of Ruth. Now, what you might be thinking, Mike, why are we doing a series on Ruth on Easter? Trust me, it's been a process getting here, and we're going to pull it all together today. And if you haven't been here for the rest of the series, rest assured it's okay, because each sermon stands on its own. Each sermon was its own sermon as part of this series. If we're to recap the last couple of weeks, here's what we've gone over. First, we've talked about choosing faith in the face of adversity. When we face adversity, we can either run or we can stand and we can have faith in the face of adversity. The second week, we talked about how God's providence is all around us. No matter how big or how small, He provides for us. He provides every need that we have. And lastly, last week, we talked about being redeemed. How we are redeemed. And how the story of Ruth and Boaz serves as an illustration for how Jesus was able to be our Redeemer. This week, we're going to focus on the ultimate redemption, which is giving us resurrection hope. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, and if you don't, share with somebody next to you that doesn't have theirs. Let them look on with you. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Ruth chapter 4. While you turn there, I want you to listen to this story. Imagine you inherit an old broken watch. Now, on my mom's side, my grandpa Peterson, when he passed, it's been 18 years ago, he left me a golden watch. I have not received that watch yet. My mom has it under lock and key. I don't know when I'll be mature enough to have it. She hasn't decided that I'm there yet. But there's a gold watch with my name on it somewhere. So I might have to do this. I might have to go get it repaired. So just let's say it's an old broken watch from a beloved family member. Despite its worn appearance and stopped hands, it holds sentimental value because of the memories it carries. You decide to take it to a skilled watchmaker who painstakingly repairs and restores it to its former glory. In Ruth chapter 4, we encounter a similar story of restoration and redemption. Naomi, a widow who has endured great loss and sorrow, finds herself in a broken, hopeless situation, especially when it came to her future. However, through the kindness and generosity of Boaz, he was a kinsman redeemer, Naomi's future was reversed. The lack of hope was replaced with hope. Boaz steps in to redeem Naomi's land, her legacy, and her family line, bringing hope and renewal to what was once desolate. But the story doesn't end there. like the watch that was restored to its original beauty, Naomi's life is further transformed with the birth of Obed, which we'll read here in a minute. A child who would become a link in the lineage of King David and ultimately of Jesus Christ himself. Just as the watchmaker breathed new life into the broken watch, took what was broken and made new, God's redemption breathes new life into us. It restores us. It brings hope to us. It is the ultimate restoration. That is a chance to be reconciled to God and experience new life, new purpose, and to have a new hope in our life. In Ruth 4, we're going to see the promise of redemption fulfilled in the birth of Obed. He foreshadows the ultimate redemption and the ultimate resurrection that we celebrate today on Easter Sunday. Just as God worked through the brokenness of Naomi's life to bring about redemption, God can work through our brokenness. He can work through our disarray in our life, our hopelessness, and He can bring about His purposes and His plans for our lives and our future. It is resurrection hope that we talk about this morning. Let's get to our scripture this morning. We're going to jump through a few verses. I'll try to say the verse name as we get out of order. We're starting in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, or the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you," talking about Ruth, "who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Verse 22, Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. And from that same line, folks, is born Jesus Christ. I want to share a few things with you this morning from this scripture, the parallels that it has. And so if we look, Boaz, we know that Boaz became a redeemer, right? He redeemed Ruth and Naomi. So in two ways, though, he became a redeemer. First is he married Ruth, and he continued the family line of Elimelech. That was Naomi's husband who died in Moab. Obed, the firstborn of Boaz and Ruth, was considered, if we follow Jewish custom, that would have been, Obed was the firstborn of Boaz and Ruth, but he was considered a son of Elimelech's family line. Because of the kinsman redeemer, he kept the family line going. The firstborn went to the family line that was redeemed. And so Obed would have been of Elimelech's family line. The second way that Boaz redeemed, he redeemed the family land that Naomi had to sell. She had to sell it, and therefore Boaz came, he bought it, he restored it all back to Elimelech's family. So they are made whole. Did you know that Boaz is a prophetic symbol of Jesus Christ? He points us to Jesus Christ. See, in the New Testament, Jesus is presented as the ultimate redeemer, and we know that to be true today. One, Christ has purchased our lives by His own blood, and He rescues our lives from being lost to sin. So He brings hope back into our life. He restores our family line, if you will. Two, Christ's merciful actions made it possible for us to be part of God's family and to receive an eternal inheritance in heaven and eternity. All of that made possible by Christ Jesus. Jesus is of the same line of Boaz and Ruth, but little did Ruth know the extent of God's plan. and pursuing Boaz and asking him to redeem her. And Naomi, who had no hope, who came back from Moab with nothing, had to sell off her husband's land. And they ended up gleaning in the fields behind the harvesters because they had nothing. They had a whole lot of no hope in their life. Little did they know, through Obed, through Jesse, through David comes Jesus. Through her line, because Boaz redeemed Ruth, Jesus. Little do we know or understand God's plan in our life. We might find ourselves in a very trying situation. We might find ourselves in a lack of hope. We might find ourselves in a situation where we don't like where we're sitting and what's going on in our life. Listen, it's not a surprise to God, and He can work right through that. If He can overcome the grave, He can overcome whatever it is that you're going through in life. Can I get an amen? So, how does all this relate to Easter? Come on, Pastor, it's Easter. Why are you talking about Ruth and Boaz? Listen, there's a purpose. Let's consider the ideas of redemption and resurrection that we've talked about so far. Let's put it in the context of Easter. Today, we receive the same encouragement and hope that Naomi and Ruth received through Boaz. They went from a hopeless situation without knowing the outcome, and through Boaz, redemption, restoration, and a future. We're all granted the same thing we receive through Jesus. Jesus' resurrection did this. It conquered sin. It conquered death. And through that, He offered eternal life to all who believe. To all who believe. The first thing that we can draw the parallel from is victory over death. If Boaz would have chosen to not redeem Ruth, Elimelech's family would have what? It would have ceased to exist. Would be done. I remember as a kid, my dad used to joke. My dad had myself and my sister, and he would kind of joke that, hey, carrying on the Linder line, that's on you. That's all on you. I didn't know what that meant, but lucky for me, I got two boys, so now it's on them. In the same way, I just realized I read a note that was for this that I had already read, but Jesus' resurrection conquered sin and death, and He gives us eternal life. He gives us future. He continues our family line and gives us a hope for the future. Luke chapter 24, verses 6 through 7. If you're taking notes, write this down. You can go read it. This is generally read on Easter Sunday, so I would not be doing my job if I didn't read it this morning. Verse 6 says, He is not here, but He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. That's why we're in church this morning, folks, because He rose. We look at John chapter 3, verse 16, and it says this, For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, this is crucial, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Many of us here today have experienced that same transformation power. We've had that transformation power of Christ Jesus take hold in our life and change us. Now, I can't speak for you because, as I said, by the way, if you were there on Friday night, just to give you a report, we had 124 people in the building, and the Ministerial Alliance for Baccalaureate raised $530. So, awesome service. That was completely left field, so I'm sorry, but this ties in together here. I told everybody on Friday night, your testimony is different than mine. Your situation is different than mine. Your life, how you grew up, completely different than mine. I cannot relate to how you grew up, but there's somebody who can. Somebody else has experienced what you've experienced. Somebody else has gone through it. Now, here's what I can do. I can speak for myself because I don't know what you went through to get to where you're at today, assuming you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If not, don't worry. You'll have an opportunity to do here so shortly, okay? But I don't know your path that you took to get here today. But here's what I know. I can speak for myself. From a lying, stealing, cheating, cursing drunkard who lived life with not a care in the world of the consequences that would come from it, covered and changed by grace abundantly to stand before you today as a pastor. Tell me how that makes any sense. Listen, if he can do that with me, how much more can he do with you? He can bring you out of the pits of hell and give you new life today. I'm trying to bring it. My goal because of this is to share the gospel message to all who would listen. Because if my life has been so radically changed by the gospel message, if all of your lives have been touched and changed by the gospel message, how many more can it touch? I think of it like this. I thought of this after I shared the message on Friday night. Imagine, if you will, you're on a cruise ship. I'm going clear off notes here, Deb, so hang tight with me. Imagine you're on a cruise ship and you go overboard. By the way, do you know about every cruise they have somebody who's foolish enough to go overboard? I think on our cruise there was two nights. Yeah, they sounded the alarm. Yeah, but somebody went overboard because they were talking about it. Anyways, they go overboard. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. But here's what I can tell you. If you're the one overboard, what is your hope? That a life vessel gets thrown out to you pretty quickly. Because you're out there swimming, hopeless, starting to get tired. Legs are tired. Arms are tired. You're starting to lose your breath. Your head's going underwater. You want life. Thank God somebody threw the life vest to you to pull you out of that. Shouldn't we be throwing that life vest out to everybody around us? Because we have the only hope that matters, and that's faith in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean for us today? Open your mouth. Tell people the gospel message. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can change your life forever. Amen? We're not done. I'm just getting started. I got to find where I'm at here. I'm sorry. Only Jesus can change a heart and a life to the extreme that He changed my life, to the extreme that He possibly changed your life. And let me encourage you today. Jesus wants to help you overcome. He wants to help you overcome your personal struggles. He wants to help you overcome your addictions. He wants to help you overcome your fear of death. Because you too can share in the victory over death by faith in Christ Jesus. The second thing that we get in our parallels here, restoration and renewal. Boaz redeeming Ruth restored Elimelech's line, which gave Naomi hope and a promise for her family continuing forever. If not, it was done with them. So by having Boaz and restoring, she had the promise of her family continuing. Her husband's line, her husband's family, her husband's name had been fully restored because of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Through Christ, we experience that redemption. We experience spiritual rebirth and restoration to God's family. When we put our faith in Christ Jesus, we become a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Spiritual rebirth. Ephesians 2:4-6, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, dead in our sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's a place in heaven for those of us who are followers and believers in Christ Jesus. As we celebrate Easter today, I pray that you are encouraged to reflect on areas of your life where you might find, I need some restoration here. I need some renewal to take place in my life here, and trust it to God. See, that right there, that's the big step. Trust it to God. Trust it to Him. Just as Jesus was raised to new life, He offers the same transformative power to each one of us. He wants to see each and every one of us. Listen, if you're not listening, pay attention. He wants to see you restored. He wants to see you redeemed. If He can defeat death, if He can defeat sin, and if He can defeat the grave, He can certainly overcome whatever it is that you need overcoming in your life. Restoration and renewal. He wants everyone to experience restoration and renewal in Him. The third that we share is hope for the future. I'm out of breath up here, guys. Just as the birth of Obed gave Naomi and Ruth a hope for the future, and indeed a very important future that they didn't know about, would be generations later that they wouldn't know, but you know, we know today, but it was a very important line that was created. And as we celebrate today the resurrection of Christ Jesus, it's not only a celebration of the past resurrection that happened some 2,000 years ago, but today is a declaration of our future hope in eternity with Christ Jesus. Easter assures us of God's promise. Because this happened, this will happen. And that's God's glorious future, where we are free from suffering and free from sorrow. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance, listen, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." There's a hope for our future, folks. Revelations 21:4, it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for their former things have passed away." This is the glorious future that we look forward to. This is the future that gives us all of our hope as believers, and this is what awaits us as believers of Christ Jesus this morning. Worship team, if you would like to come up. But what should our response be? Knowing all of this, because victory over death, restoration and renewal, and hope for the future, because of all of this, what should our response be? Knowing that we have this hope, knowing that we have this promise, knowing that we have experienced grace in our life, grace abundantly, what's our response? Here's what our response is. We must allow it to shape our priorities. We must allow it to shape our attitudes. Some of us have bad attitudes and don't represent Jesus very well. I can attest that I've had days like that. We all do. But we must let His promise, this hope, His grace fill our life, where we can allow it to continue to shape our priorities, our attitudes, the way we talk to people, the way that we act when we're not around our church folks, over all our actions, our thoughts, our desires. It should impact every aspect of our life. Because where did this life even come from? Through Jesus. He gave His life so we could have life abundantly. If you were there Friday night, you heard this. If not, you're hearing it for the first time. So everybody open your ears and listen. We have shirts that says, come as you are. That's exactly what we mean. Come as you are. Here's what it doesn't say. Stay as you are. Because in a relationship with Christ Jesus, you will not be the same. You will be forever changed if you let His grace and His mercy change your life. If you don't have a hope for the future, if you've never asked and said, Jesus, I believe in you, if you've never stepped in to that relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that God wishes for no one to perish. He wishes that everybody here in this building today, in all buildings across the world, and every person that is unthought of, unrecognizable, sitting in a gutter this morning, He cares for them. And He desires that they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. So if that's what God's wish is, we should be driven by that same thing because we have experienced that and we are walking in that freedom here today. So here in a moment, if I've just described you without a relationship with Jesus, you're going to have a chance to respond here very quickly. I pray that you would be bold enough to say yes to Christ Jesus this morning. What a story that'll be 10 years from now. I got saved Easter Sunday of 2024. And look how my life has changed since. You might all be going to lunch. We're going to go off notes again. You might all be going to lunch with family today. Well, you have somebody there who doesn't know Christ Jesus. Do you have a neighbor that doesn't know Christ Jesus who may be sitting in their house by themselves on this Easter Sunday because they don't believe in Jesus, so they don't celebrate Easter the same way that we do? You can go and tell them the gospel message and breathe life into their soul. You do not have to wait for them to come knock on your door. Be bold and go knock on their door today and say, I got something to tell you. It quite literally is the greatest story ever told. It's not a story, it's real. So we should be driven to share the same hope that we've all experienced. As we celebrate Jesus' resurrection today, as we celebrate the work of the cross, we mustn't let the excitement and hope die here. Yeah, this was a great service. The worship team did a really good job. There's a lot of people in here, and we were all singing, and it sounded wonderful. It does not leave when we leave here today. That excitement that you shared, oh, I feel really good. You should feel that way 24/7. You should feel that way 24/7. So we must not let it just die out today, be here and gone tomorrow. Because guess what? Life's going to happen as soon as you walk out of here. Somebody's going to burn their ham. Somebody's going to burn their pork loin because Pastor wouldn't stay on his notes and he went too long. Trey said, you got plenty of food? Come to our house, to Teresa's house. We'll feed you. Instead, let's find ourselves celebrating our redemption daily. Let's celebrate our redemption. Let's rejoice in our redemption. Let's rejoice in our new life in Jesus Christ every single day. Not only should we celebrate it that we should live, but we need to live in that same resurrection power that Jesus did. As a believer of Jesus, that power is available to you to walk in. We can walk in His resurrection power every single day. Engaging our community for Jesus. There's a lot of communities here today. But engaging our community for Jesus should come naturally for us if we live out the reality of Jesus' resurrection in our lives. It should come naturally for us to share His love and our hope that we have in Him with others. There is nothing more important than that, church. There is nothing more important than that. as the women said to Naomi in Ruth chapter 4, verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And make his name be renowned in Israel." May those of us who have received his forgiveness, who have been redeemed, who have been restored, who have resurrection hope, make his name known forever in our communities. That should have been a lot bigger, heartier amen, folks. We have a resurrection hope. Let's tell and share with others what that hope is. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I told you a couple times that this moment was coming, that you would have an opportunity to respond. Today's your day. Today's the day that you can receive the Lord Jesus. Today is the day that you can receive hope for eternal life. You can rid yourself of all of your shame. You can rid yourself of your guilt. And you can have your sins completely wiped away. Today, you can experience forgiveness. So if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you can do so today. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be in relationship with him, would you just raise your hand this morning? Amen. Church, here's how I would like to close today. The altar call, we call them altar calls. Basically, we call you to the steps. And what it is, it's not even so much coming up to the front, but it's responding to the message. It's responding to the Word of God. So it's quite simple this morning. I want to challenge you to worship our Lord Jesus. Not sing to our Lord Jesus, but to worship our Lord Jesus. It's taken time. I know that we all have plans. You can take 3 to 5 minutes. Trust me, I know that you can. We can take the time to celebrate His resurrection. We can take time to thank Him for what He has done in our lives, how He has changed our life, how He has saved us from our despairing, hopeless life. While the worship team leads us in a song, I want to just encourage you. I want to encourage you to do something. I want you to come to the altar. I can't make you, but I want you to. But here's what. I want you to come with your family. I want you and your family to come and to worship together. And if you need prayer this morning, just make your way to the front and make eye contact with me. And I would love to pray with you, as I know others in the church would. Church, let me ask you this. Do you have resurrection hope? Amen.